But I didn't go with the cheap ones. These are the chinette or whatever they are, the heavy duty ones. So, 1, 2, 3. Happy New Year. Well, I don't know. They see something in doing that. Maybe if it whacks the door and breaks into pieces, it's a lot more exciting. But you got to do it here in church, so good for you. Did any of you make any resolutions this year?
No.
No. There's a lot of no's out there today. Nearly all resolutions don't make it to the end of the year. In fact, there's a statistic I found out. 80% of New Year's resolutions that are made don't make it to February. And if you're like me, I don't know the last year. It's probably decades ago that I even thought about a New Year's resolution. I just know to do what I need to do. And I don't make any promises I don't want to have to fulfill. But so, you know, if you started one and it's already waning, well, you can kick it in again. I tell you, one aspect I do like about crossing that threshold to a new year is that it seems like a natural time to take stock of where you are and where you're going, what we have to look forward to. And so, you know, if we've grown a bit spiritually, you know, you don't want to be complacent about life. You don't want to be complacent about your walk with the Lord. It's a good time, the beginning of the year, to kind of shake ourselves, stir ourselves up a little bit, and just kind of refocus, to use a term that Pastor Ben would speak on, focusing on what's ahead for the new year. So as we start this journey of 2024, I want to offer this morning a word of exhortation. That no matter where we are, no matter where you are in your spiritual walk, you can always take another step forward. Yeah. Amen? You can always take another step up. And so that's what I'm going to encourage you to do this morning. First, let's take a look at some scripture. This is in the book of Genesis, chapter 6. The Lord is giving instructions to Noah about building an ark. And in verse 14, that's where we're going to start. God says, make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and out with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. And I want to focus on that last line. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. Let's pray for this morning's message. Lord, I thank you for this new year. I thank you, Father, that we're in your household, that we are with like-minded believers, that as the saints have come together, we know that your presence is among us. And Lord, as I preach this message, I pray that you help us to just be inspired for all that you have for us, that we wouldn't settle for less than your best, that we would move ahead in our own spiritual walk and also move this church ahead in its influence and position within this community. And Lord, I pray that as we go through the message, that your Spirit would help me to make this clear, that you would help me to make it reasonable and make sense to the people who are here, that we might just know there is a future. There is a better future for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, we're talking about Noah's Ark. The ark is really a very beautiful symbol of Christian salvation. When you think about it, I mean, the righteous believers are saved out of a very wicked culture. You know, they are given a new world. It's like the Old Testament talks about the old has passed away, the new has come, right? Every creature on the ark was saved. I want you to keep that in mind. Every creature that made it to the ark was saved. Now, this particular passage, it talks about some of the physical characteristics of the ark. And the thing I find interesting and what I'm going to kind of focus on this morning is that the ark was a triple decker. They had three decks on the ark, right? You could live on any of those three levels, the lower deck, the middle deck, or the upper deck. Now, I can't prove it from Scripture, but I think we can kind of argue just from simple logic that Noah and his family lived on the top deck. I mean, just think about it. Reason this out with me. The animals began moving into the ark, right? I feel pretty confident that the elephants and the hippos and the rhinoceroses and all of those bigger animals in that genre are going to be hanging out at the lower deck. If for nothing else, it adds more stability to this big ark as it's floating along, right? So you have all of the big animals on the lower deck. Now, with the big animals living on the lower deck and the only window being at the top, I mean, if you had a choice, wouldn't you want to live at the top? I mean, if I was going to be stuck on an ark for more than a year with all of the known beasts alive on planet Earth, I would want a window seat. I mean, give me some fresh air, please. I mean, how many of you have just even been to a barn? You know, if you're not used to it, it takes some getting used to. Well, I think it's a pretty safe bet to think that Noah and his family lived on that upper deck. And if you're a Christian, if you've been born again, undoubtedly, you are on your way to heaven. Hallelujah. All true Christians are going to heaven, but between now and then, there's, of course, a life to live, a life here on this earth. But you can live on this earth at different levels. Yeah. You can live at different levels of victory. There are different levels that the Bible talks about all the time. You know, in the parable of the sower sowing his seed, there were some seed that yielded 30, some 60, some 100-fold. There are different levels all throughout the Bible. And even in our life, you know, when you get on a plane, if you do any flying, there will be passengers who get divided up, right? Some are in first class, and then there's the rest of us. everyone on that plane is going to the same place, right? And I've never flown anything but economy, but I have heard stories about what goes on beyond those curtains. It's an entirely different experience. Now, we're all on our way to the same destination, heaven. And there are three levels of the Christian experience I'll talk about this morning. The lower level, the middle level, and the upper level. By that I mean there's lower deck living, there's middle deck living, and then there is upper deck living. The good news is, even when you're on the lower deck, like all of the other passengers on that ark, you're all going to the same place. We're all headed for heaven. Hallelujah. But let's talk about the lower deck. The lower deck. See, what often happens is people come to Jesus and they receive salvation. I mean, they hear the message about Jesus. They hear about hell. They hear about heaven. And anybody with half a brain is going to go, hey, I want the heaven side. I'm heading for the ark of Jesus. I'm getting on that ark. And so they get saved. Salvation is theirs through Jesus Christ. And once they get into the salvation ark, they just sit down. And they just sit there. They sit there until the day they arrive in heaven. Many people never go further than getting into the door. That's kind of sad. I mean, they're on their way to heaven, right? But they are miserable every moment of the journey. Remember, you have the window, you have fresh air. That can be symbolic of the Holy Spirit. These lower deck Christians, they're far from the window. They receive no revelation. They receive no illumination, no sense of freshness in their lives, no sense of refreshing in their walk, no enthusiasm, no joy. Lord, that Christians are often miserable, negative, critical, contentious. They are not enjoying the voyage. All they're trying to do is get to the destination, to survive. Lower deck Christians are easy to detect. They always talk about how bad things are, and they always talk about how hard it is to be a Christian. Lower deck Christians spend their entire Christian experience in the dark, cramped quarters of the lower deck. They're surrounded by the filth and the foul odors of lower level living. I want to be a Christian, but I don't want to live on the lower level. Amen. Yeah. Now, some lower level livers, try and say that three times fast. Some, not all, but some lower level deck Christians have heard that there are other decks. However, they're not personally convinced that they do really exist. And if other decks do exist, they're pretty sure that it's not possible really for others to get there. That's sad, because it is possible. It is possible. You don't have to live on the lower deck. And I tell you, one of the worst things about living on the lower deck is that you have to hang out with all the other lower deck Christians. It's not fun down there. Of course, everyone would agree, being on the lower deck, that is infinitely better than not being on the ark at all, right? Through false teaching and a lack of teaching in some cases, whole denominations have restricted their people to the lower deck. You know, the message is, be satisfied with where you are. I mean, you're saved. It's good enough. You'll get to heaven. But there's more. You don't have to live as a lower deck Christian. And I hope that you are coming to Visible Church because you have a greater desire than to live on a lower deck the rest of your Christian life. You've decided that you're not going to get to heaven in the least possible shape, but you're going for the best. Living at the lowest level is not the best. And I hope, like me, you are believing for something better than that. And when we're talking about something better, well, let's move up a deck. How about that middle deck? Middle deck is not bad. You know, if you grow in maturity a little bit, you study the Word, you build some intimacy with the Lord, you have some consistency in your life, in your prayer life, and in spiritual disciplines, you know, you start learning how to claim the promises that you're finding out about from the Bible and from good teaching. If you're in that camp, you can step up, climb up to the middle deck. That's a good place. Those who have made it to the middle deck have learned how to enjoy the journey. Life is no longer just an endurance contest. Now things are actually happening that you enjoy. And of all the decks, really, the middle deck is the most popular. And there's a lot of good company on the middle deck. A lot of good folks there on the middle deck. And one of the reasons that middle deck is so popular, well, because most people are willing to settle for good. It's good. Now, if you've got enough on the ball spiritually to not be content and stay in the cargo hold in that lower deck, why settle for the middle deck? Why not go all the way to the top? Sure, the middle deck is better than the lower deck. Mediocrity is better than misery. God knows we want more for the children of God. God wants more for His children than just mediocrity. In our spiritual walk, we don't want to be mediocre. That word mediocre, that's a combination of two French words that means halfway up the mountain. Who wants to go halfway up a mountain? I mean, when you stand back and you see a mountain and you look at the peak, that's just naturally where you want to go. At least I do. I'd be wanting to go up to that top. Well, at the bottom of the mountain, everybody wants to go to the top. But when they start out and they're actually having to do something to get there, a lot of people decide, you know, halfway is good enough. It's not so bad. Take a look around. You know, halfway up, you can look out and see some beautiful scenery. You can see some impressive things that you couldn't see when you were at the bottom. And you feel really like you've accomplished something. You've made it that far. But I'm sure you've also heard that saying, the good is often the enemy of the best. Good is the enemy of the best. Don't settle for the good when you can have the best. Now, the best, that's on the upper deck. That's the upper deck. Remember again, I keep saying this because I don't want you to feel like, well, I'm less than if I'm not on the upper deck. Everybody on the ark is going to the same place. Hallelujah. We are all saved. But why not get there with an experience that you will enjoy? Why not get there in a place that is closer to the Lord? See, on the lower and the middle decks, there's very little to look at. On the upper deck, you can actually get a vision of heaven. I mean, sure, there is stuff that you can look at on the lower and the middle decks, but it is not at all like the view that you have on the upper deck. Not at all. It's the people on the upper deck that have a vision, a heavenly vision. They can see their destiny, their God-given destination. They have something that they are excited about. It's the people on the upper decks that do exploits for God. You've seen that in the Bible. You know, we'll do mighty exploits for God. Well, it's the people that are on the upper deck that do that. It's the upper deck Christians that have a continual breeze of the Holy Spirit to revive and to refresh them. Their lives, their Christian experience doesn't grow stale and stuffy. Now, you can get to heaven on any of those three decks. Any of those. We're all going to the same place. You can get to heaven in the dark and the miserable experience of the lower deck, or the good and the comfortable experience of the middle deck, or the thrilling adventure of the upper deck. Where do you want to be? See, you can choose. All of us have been given that choice. First, of course, we have to get on board. Salvation is necessary. You know, if you are not saved, if you have not given your life to Jesus Christ, if you have not accepted his sacrifice for your sin, then you haven't even gotten onto the ark. So, you know, start there if you're not there. If you haven't gotten onto the ark, if you haven't received Jesus, if you haven't had that born-again experience, you need to. And get on the ark. Get on that salvation boat. All right. So once you're there, next you have to determine, where are you? Which deck are you on right now? Remember, I said the beginning of the year is a good time to kind of take stock of where you are, and if necessary, shake yourself up a little bit, kind of encourage yourself to move to the next level. So where are you right now? Are you a lower deck liver? Are you a middle deck liver? Are you a upper deck liver? Where do you want to be? And what do you need to do to get there? See, there is something we have to do. I mean, individually, there is some, just like you are not going to get on the ark unless you do something personally by receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior, right? So there's a personal thing that you must do. Well, to get to the next deck, the next level, there are things that you personally are going to have to do. There are no free upgrades. All of the times I've flown, and I haven't flown a lot, but I've flown a bit, never once did they say, Bill, would you please enjoy the experience in the front. Not once. There are no free upgrades on this salvation ark other than your free passage by accepting Jesus' free gift. Jesus paid the price to get you on board, but the level of your Christian walk and the level of your victory in this life are simply determined by the choices that you make. What are you going to do? To move up to the next level, you need to discover more of what belongs to you, what God has already done for you through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And how do you do that? Bible study? Get good teaching? You know, pick up a good Christian book once in a while? Once in a while? Ah, but Pastor, I'm not much of a reader. I don't get much out of it when I read the Bible, and I don't even really bother with the other books. I hear you. I've heard that before from a lot of lower level livers. If that's where you want to be, I mean, you're saved, you're on the ark. But if you want to step up to a new level, if you want your life to be more than just staring at whatever is down there in that lowest level, then you're going to have to do something. I know, but all that Bible reading and all that Bible study, that's just not for me. I prefer to be led by the Spirit. I actually had somebody say that to me. Somebody in this church who isn't here now, but that was their, I don't get much. I don't like to read. I just want to be led by the Spirit. Sounds pretty lofty. We all want to be led by the Spirit, don't we? And so that's like a get out of jail free card. No, it doesn't work that way. Every book in the Bible was written by someone who was led by the Spirit. If you want to be led by the Spirit, read what the Spirit has already said. Read what the Spirit has already provided for you, for your direction, for your comfort, for your peace, for your joy, for your understanding. It's already been printed and given to you in many different forms. So take advantage of that. Jesus was led by the Spirit. I'm sure you would agree. Nobody done it better. Jesus was led by the Spirit. But you know what? Jesus knew the Scriptures inside and out. Jesus knew the Scriptures inside and out. If you don't know the Scriptures inside and out, you are vulnerable to deception. Not every voice that you hear in your head is the Holy Spirit talking to you. You know, there was a time when the devil came to try and tempt Jesus into doing what even seemed like the right thing, even used Scripture. But Jesus, because he knew the Scriptures inside and out, was able not only to resist that temptation, but also refute the devil using Scripture. Amen. If you don't want to read the Bible, I guess that's up to you. But it's not a good choice for you to make if you desire more than lower level living. Get into reading and studying. And as you discover all of those great things, the promises that God has made to us, the things that belong to us, that are our inheritance, that he has already provided, that we have already received, that we just now have to appropriate in our lives, you start working with that. You know, rise up a little bit in your faith and claim that inheritance, and you will be stepping up. Now, we're talking about diligence, right? We're talking about diligence in prayer and faithful to the call and humility, being able to accept correction and direction. You know, all of those things come into play. In fact, if what I'm saying to you is kind of making you bristle a little on the inside, maybe there's some humility that needs to come in, and so you can see where correction and direction will help you. All right? It's these kind of actions that will get us to the next level, that will get us up to the next deck. Don't be a low-level liver. Let's take a look. There's a scripture that is always inspiring to me from Philippians chapter 3. This is verse 14. We use it quoted a lot. This is, you know, that what the the refrigerator type scripture. You put it on a magnet and stick it on your refrigerator. Paul says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I guarantee you, once Paul had an authentic encounter with Jesus, Paul didn't spend more than 3 days on the lower deck. Once he had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, he wasn't content to be on the lower deck. I mean, he didn't have much choice in those first 3 days. He's blind and just waiting for somebody to help him. But after that, he was off. And why would any of us not also want to step up another level? And let me say this, young people, since you're here with us and didn't go off to do your young people things, let me say this. Young people often end up on the lower deck because their families are good. Their families kind of bring them along. But they can't drag you up those other decks. And sometimes it's really concerning to me, and I'm sure to many of our people here, parents and such, that young people are content to just get in. And they know they're saved, and they're just fine that way. And they're not really seeking that next level. Not even to get halfway up. They're just happy that they're in that lower deck. I'm here to tell you, young people, man, you are in the prime position to really live life that God has in store for you. You are in prime position to fulfill the destiny that God has in store for you, particularly if you begin now. You know, I often talk about it. I didn't get saved until I was in my late 20s. And all of the mess that I made of my life before then, wow, where would I be if I would have been saved as a young person, as a teenager, where I could do something even at that age? God is no respecter of persons or age. You know, if you'll believe, if you'll respond, he will use you in miraculous ways. You will do great exploits for God. Anyway, side note there. Now, I'll have Amy come back up because we're going to finish here in just a moment. I'm going to share a little bit during overflow, a message particularly for Visible Church. Not for you necessarily as an individual, although much of it will apply, but for this church, for this time, for the beginning of 2024, and I hope you'll join us for that. But I tell you this, no matter what deck you are on, and you know where you are, no matter what deck you are on, let's follow Paul's example, and let's press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call in Christ. Let's press on. There's greater things for us to do in this life than just exist, than to just wait it out until Jesus returns and takes us. Amen? How wonderful would it be when you get to heaven to be able to say that you had reached the fullness of God's potential in Jesus? Man, oh man. Let's finish with a quick prayer. Lord, I pray that by your Spirit, you reveal to us where we are and where you would have us be. Reveal to us, Lord God, what your plan and your purpose and your destination for us is. And Lord, I pray that you would also bring insight into how we individually can achieve that, how we can fulfill the purpose and the greatness that you have for each person that is in this room. Lord, we don't want to be low-level livers. We want to attain that prize from the upward call. Lord, as we finish this service, I pray that you will impart to each heart that understanding that produces desire to follow hard after you. And I pray it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
Oh, bless the Lord. Oh, bless the Lord. Oh, my sin was black as night. Oh, bless His name.